Hello, everybody. I'm George Marlin. Thanks for coming to my channel. Right, so talking about Russia closing the railway to Finland a few days ago and to Latvia and Estonia. Although, curiously, the railway to Lithuania remains open. Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, of course, former Soviet republics. Finland was part of the Russian Empire from about 1812 to 1917. So without warning, this decree on the 1st of July, no trains back and forth across the border. Now, Finland was neutral for ages, neutral since the Second World War, joined NATO because of Russia's aggression against Ukraine. And then Russia was using illegal migrants to punish the Finland and the European Union more broadly by guiding them across the border illegally. Into Finland or through Belarus into European countries. I knew a Congolese who was living in Moscow for a few years, and she crossed from Russia to Belarus, and it's kind of an open border, treated as like a domestic travel. And from there, illegally into Poland, met by someone with a car with thousands of euros, drove her across Poland, across Germany, into France, where she claimed asylum because she's Francophone. And the Belarusian government, Russian government, was helping this a lot because it weaponizes that. They know it provokes sensitivities in European Union countries. They know people divert attention from the Ukraine situation, or maybe even more hostile to immigrants, illegal refugees, whether Ukrainian or not, create and plays into the hands of some of these sort of ethno-nationalist anti-immigrant parties, which tend to be more sympathetic towards Putin's version of events on Ukraine. So that's why Finland some years ago had closed. The land border, you couldn't drive across, walk, cycle across, but you could go by train. Obviously, you know, flights since the beginning of the Ukraine war, European Union airspace being closed to Russia and Belarus. Likewise, Russia and Belarus are closer to airlines from EU countries. But if you're flying from, say, France to China on Air China, for instance, you are allowed to fly over Russian airspace. A bit of an advantage for airlines from neutral countries like India and China and so forth. The Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin signed this. He said it's temporary, but there it's this is closed sine die. And notice not President Putin signed it. So there's no reason being set out, despite being hugely inconvenient people, despite being economically damaging. So people can't cross, nor can goods be brought across. There were five border crossing points for trains in the border with Finland, one for Estonia, one for Latvia, but they haven't closed with Lithuania. So we don't know. Now, why would that be? That's obviously hurting the Russian economy even more, but it's somewhat hurting the economies of other countries. Is it that they think they're vulnerable to invasion? I think people are not going to invade by train. There's a possibility they may be ha having a mobilization because Russia is sort of losing 35,000 troops a month, only recruiting 30,000, a net loss of 5,000 every year. That's 60,000. So, you know, their invasion force at the beginning of this year was about 660,000. By the end of the year, this rate would be roughly 600,000. If that carries on another year, it'd be down to 540,000. They won't be able to do these meat attacks at all. And again, they won't even be able to hold the territory they've got. And there are fewer and fewer recruitable people, military age males, because, you know, people are dying off, babies weren't born, there are not enough people turning 18, people have left the country, and so forth. And various people you can't recruit because they're severely disabled, they're in reserved occupations, the police are exempt, the intelligence service are exempt, they're critical sectors of the economy or whatever. So there might have to be mobilizations. They force people to join. They can't offer the big bonuses anymore to get people to join because they can't afford them. They're trying every trick in the book, getting failing students, offering them to join, say you'll only be on the drone force, be far back from the front line. They then have to pass the drone course. If they don't, they're just in infantry assault units. Even if they pass the course, they can put into infantry assault unit anyway. The 1 year thing, well, Putin's mobilization thing, we said previously join the army, you're not allowed out to the end of the conflict. Regardless of that said, we know the Russian government lies all the time, breaks its word, including its own people. We'll swear in a stack of Bibles or something, and they'll shamelessly renege on it. So they're utterly untrustworthy. And people will eventually get wise to that. Targeting people heavily in debt. They emptied the prisons. They've even taken me out of a psychiatric hospital. Any bodies they can throw at Ukraine, saying, "Well, this person is worthless. It's a drain on the economy. If he dies, nobody's going to miss him. We have a family man who's a great contributor. If he gets killed, that will break up a whole network of relationships. We'll throw away a runt, someone who's worthless. That's their callous view of things. So they might have to have mass conscription, and they don't want people bolting from the border crossing legally or illegally, as happened in September, October 2022. So it's possibly because it's a run-up to that, because Putin doesn't like to have to make these decisions, these tough decisions, either or. He leans a certain way. He often delegates, have lower-level people take the unpopular decisions, but this might be just unavoidable. And a stealth and increasing the number of people who are persuaded or strong-armed into doing it, particularly in the impoverished, poverty-stricken, remote ethnic minority regions. So that's it. Okay. There's not a huge effect on Finland, really, because they hadn't allowed trains for some time, but when are they ever going to allow them again? So the Finns might actually be relieved. Harder for Russian spies to get in, or people seeking asylum who might even be Putinites posing as dissidents and things like that. So it's fascinating. But yeah, Lithuania trade carries on as normal, crossing the border by train at Pegiai Savetsk. Because that's from Leningrad, so Lithuania to the Kaliningrad Oblast. But Kaliningrad is very cut off. It's got Poland on one side, Lithuania on the other side, and by the Baltic Sea. So maybe, you know, I thought maybe there should be sanctions on that to make it really difficult to get everything in it that they need, have to come by air, by sea, and that's much more expensive to supply that than the Kaliningrad-esque exclave, formerly Königsberg, part of Germany. And then the Second World War, that was annexed, made part of the Russian Soviet Socialist Federative Republic. And so when the Soviet Union split up, it was part of Russia, even though it doesn't connect by land to any of the rest of the Russian Federation. So why is he doing it? I've given some sort of speculation. I mean, not an entirely logical thing to do, making their economic situation even worse than it already is. But it'd be kind of a pinprick to the economies of other countries. Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, all very worried that Putin will invade them. They've got indigenous Russian ethnic minorities still trying to rescue them. So these saviors of them will be killing loads of them. So that's why they're rearming like crazy, because they feel the threat and want Poland to come to their aid. Worried that Putin will only ever escalate. Will he have some false flag on Poland? Will he launch some drone onto his own territory, claiming it was fired by Poland or another NATO country, as a Kazuzbeli, a Gliwice sort of incident, possibly, like they were preparing to do before the Ukraine war? They were going to claim the Ukrainians had massacred some Russian civilians in Ukraine or in Russia itself. I don't know. And they'd hired actors and actresses to play the wailing relatives. So we know they always do this. And even the jubilant crowds that greet Putin, it slipped out from one of his bodyguards. They are, crowd actors. They're a mass. And it's all choreographed. It's all scripted. It's all a Potemkin village. Not to say there isn't genuine popularity, but people in Russia got this 360-degree propaganda. Wherever you look, radio, television, internet, posters on the street, school textbooks, newspapers, magazines, incessantly, Putin is good. This war is not even a war. It's a special military operation. It was forced upon us. We are winning it. It's morally justified. The Ukrainians are Nazis. The West is against us. And that will overcome the critical faculties, the defenses of even a wise and intelligent person. So most of them, they believe it. You know, people who seem otherwise reasonable, pleasant, amiable, personable, and they can fall for this kind of stuff. Just as we fall for propaganda in our country, and I see propaganda pumped out, not about the Ukraine war, but about other things, justifying the most unspeakable, barbarous cruelties. All right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then on PayPal, georgecannon7@gmail.com. Goodbye.